te pūrere hua. Te wārawa ki rungāra.
Kia ora, my name is Whareus Lysander and welcome to Oho Ake Books. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about living from your heart and that being your passion. And that's your purpose in life. And that can change whenever and whatever time it changes, it doesn't matter. Just following your heart, following your passion is what this podcast is all about. I'm going to give you some anecdotal stories about my own lifetime, following my heart, following my passion, and where it's got me to this point in my life now. For most of our lives, most people will live their lives from their heads. They'll make decisions from their brains, and if not from their brains, from their guts. They'll go with their gut feelings. But the majority of people live from their heads. They think things through. They're analytical. They're rational. Their entire focus of their lives is in their minds. They create stories in their lives, in their heads. They assume things from their heads. They respond or react, more important, rather than respond, actually. They react to situations and circumstances from their mind. They think things through. They don't feel into things. They don't feel into situations, they don't feel into circumstances, they don't feel into experiences. They don't follow their hearts, because following their hearts is often the most scary and often counterintuitive, from my experience, counterintuitive path to take. But it is, without a doubt, for the short time that you are in a human body, and it might seem like a long time, but it's really a short time in the nature of the length of the span of a star or the length of a planet's existence or in the universe itself. Your life is a blink, and a human body that is a blink of the universe, if that, of the universe's movements, breathing. Your life is so short. So it makes sense for those of us who are consciously awakened and spiritually awakened to live our lives from our hearts. And as I get older in my body, as my body grows older, me, I'm still the same age, I'm still eternal. But my body grows older, I feel the desire to live from my heart so strongly now that I cannot refuse it. And I won't refuse it, no matter what circumstances present themselves to me. And I trust in this process that the universe has got me because I'm living this way. And looking back at this now, of course, with hindsight, many, 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 many years later, when I was younger and I first started playing sport, and sport was one of my passions when I was very young, as a teenager, I was very much a lover of a game in this country. It was played basically in the Commonwealth countries that came out of the UK and of England, called cricket. And a lot of people don't know what cricket is, but for those of you who do, I started playing cricket when I was very young, and I had some great coaches. I became very passionate about the game itself. I also became very passionate about the fact that the camaraderie that I felt playing in team sports. But my cricket, my love of team sports and my love of playing sport in general brought me into interactions with people in a social context. And that became for me a wonderful way and a very important way for me to meet people who are on the same wavelength and same mindset as I was and have all had a similar love for the games that I was playing. Because from cricket, I went to other game forms of sport too. I became a table tennis player, basketball, badminton, tennis, rugby, rugby league, all these team sports and other sports that were played as a single person, but still as a team, can be doubles. I love them, and my passion for sport took hold in my life in a big way, in a huge way. But it was cricket for me that really shone out of all those games the brightest. Now, I represented my city, Auckland City, many times for various age groups. Then went down to Otago University, and down there I played cricket professionally for a season for Green Island. Not successfully due to the nature of my alcoholism and my drinking, but I was very passionate about the game and I was looking to play the game at the highest level possible, but just did not have the mental fortitude to go through that process to get to that place where I was able to play it provincially and nationally for my country. And that's a blessing in disguise looking back at it now, I have to be honest with you. But my passion for this game, my passion for the sport was enormous. But it began to wane. It began to wane at the end of my heavy drinking. And I would have been 22, 20, 23 years old. I began to walk away from the game, and I felt that the desire to play it, the passion for it, began to dissolve in my life. When that happened for me, I became rudderless in regards to a passion or a purpose. I was basically cowering away from my own trauma, my childhood traumas that were manifesting in my life. And through a relationship, my first relationship with my first girlfriend, my first real girlfriend, Helen, I got to a place where I came to a crux, and in that crux, I came to a crossroads, and in that crossroads, I came to a place where I realized that I had an alcoholic addiction. And I quit my drinking, I learned how to meditate, I changed my entire life, and my passion became a spiritual conscious awakening process. I became very passionate about that, very passionate about the fact that I wanted to become a better human, wanted to understand where I come from, understand the nature of reality and my place in reality. And that became my passion, that became my purpose in life, is to continue to grow and to resonate and to move into a place where I began to understand the machinations of my own belief systems, my patterns, all the conditioning that had taken place in my life, and understanding more about my own personal psychology, my psyche, my ego, all those attributes that made me who I was, all became really important to me. And I was very passionate about self-discovery and self-awareness, self-observation through meditation. And I had an experience living in a Manor Place in South Dunedin, where I was meditating one night when I had had a smoke of some pot. I had a smoke on a joint, a couple of puffs on a joint, and I went back to my room to meditate. And every day at that time, I was doing breath counting or mindfulness of breath in the morning, and the evenings I was doing Metta Bhavana, which is a form of loving kindness meditation. So I was doing the mornings for about half an hour of mindfulness of breathing. And at night time I was doing Metta Bhavana. So I was checking in and expanding into the universe in a loving, kind, compassionate way, and extending this energy field into the multiverse. And by doing that, going to bed every night, sleeping quite soundly. And one night when I did that, I was meditating, and then something came into the room, knelt down next to me, and whispered my name in my left ear. The voice went through my head, in my left ear, out my right ear, and I waited for a couple of moments. I could still feel the presence in the room when I felt this presence get up from next to me, basically moved away from me. I opened up my eyes, and it would be years, years and years before I went back to meditating again, because it scared me so much. So my passion moved again and became something else. I became passionate about experiencing travel, and this was domestic travel at the time. I was traveling quite a lot in the South Island, but traveling between Dunedin and Motueka in the Tasman region. And when I got up there into that particular part of the country, I got a reawakening into my sense of self-discovery, and I became very passionate once again about self-discovery. I became very passionate about the sense of self-awareness that I had. I became very passionate about the people that I met and interacted with. And I got into a place where my rudderless life I had been in after my meditation freakout, I got back into a place where I had more focus and more purpose in my life. And when I had that in my life, I began to draw people into my experience of my life that reflected back at me that process. And when that happened, I had monumental shifts in personal and conscious awareness, and my spiritual awakening went even further and deeper. And when that happened again, I brought people into my life, lovers into my life that reflected back at me that which I began to become passionate about. And my next passion, my next level of passion went into my expression of my sexuality through sex and through the sexual intercourse and intimate experience. I became a very passionate and empowered student. And in that field, I recognized my Scorpio wiles, my Scorpio wares, and the nature of my sexual organs ruling my life. And they literally did rule my life back then. They literally did, and I became very passionate about sex, very passionate about attentiveness in regards to sexuality, very passionate about pleasing my lovers, and very passionate about the fact that I was becoming a great lover, not just a good one, a great one, because I would listen, I would talk, I would ask my lovers what they wanted from me, and I would always reciprocate what they asked of me when I was given what I wanted to experience. It was never about me. It was about sharing and creating an experience of my loves. And I became very passionate about this. And it stayed with me for many, many years, right? I was in this place where I just felt like my passion was to give women that I slept with or had an experience with intimately the most amazing experiences of their lives up until that moment, naturally. What happens beyond them after seeing me, it's none of my fucking business. But up until that moment, that's how I felt. I wanted to be that guy. I was passionate about it. I was passionate and truly working at this as a skill, as a place where I could feel worthy. And this was the nature of how I truly felt. And it might have been egotistical, and very much so on some levels it was, but on other levels it was more of a gift for me. It was more of a gifting. I was gifting these beautiful partners, these beautiful women that I was having intimate experiences with, the greatest gift of myself I could present to them in this way, knowing that my sense of communication through this experience that I was sharing with them was me being completely present, me being completely and utterly open and surrendering to the moment. And I became, and this is who I was at my most realness, real, and my most convicted, or conviction more than convicted, I wasn't convicted, convicted, me in a more of in a state of highly aroused awareness in regards to the circumstances that I was sharing with somebody. Convicted. How ridiculous. But that's who I was. I was passionate about this. I was passionate about being this person. And it showed in my experiences, flowed into my life in legion because of that. It was where my purpose was. My purpose was to be this person, to give women this experience that I slept with. And this is a thing for me. This was perhaps my, as much as it was a wonderful thing for me to share, at the same time, it was also a place for me to find validation. So it was sort of like a two sides of a coin. One side of the coin was looking to find some self-esteem in my experiences and feel worthy of the experiences that I was having. The other side of the coin, it was me sharing the very essence of my skill base and what I felt I really wanted to bring to this, the experiences that I shared with these beautiful women, in a way that was devout, reverent, and always passionate. My passion moved again, but it shifted and changed. And as it shifted and changed, I began to realize that one of my next passions that I had in my life, my heart really, really sang and went into full blossom, was the spirit of travel. I traveled around New Zealand extensively before leaving this country. I traveled to many places that I've never had wanted to go to in this country, and did it almost for a whole year of travel to very distant, very remote places on these islands in order to see it fully and appreciate it, what it could share with me, what the experiences energetically could share with me, what I would find at these places, and to know and have the knowledge of being able to share with people when I'm in abroad about places to go to and experience, what things to see and what places to go to for different experiences and what to get out of those places in regards to value, my own personal value, I can share with other people. I did that for most of the year, like I said, and it was amazing for me. The people that I drew into my life, the things that I saw, the energies that I correlated with, amazing. These islands, even though they are small compared to many places, many countries, they have so much to offer, especially the South Island, Te Wai Ponamu, has so much to offer. Those who have an open heart and open eyes to see. They're beautiful places, amazing places. When I left New Zealand to go to Australia with Annette, I've talked about before, when I got to Australia and realized that I was following her path, not mine, I felt terrified and afraid. I felt lost and rudderless again. I wanted to come back to New Zealand, back to Aotearoa, when I got to Melbourne. My mother convinced me otherwise and said, just stay with the fit, stay with where you are, and just do your best. You can always come back, just do your best. Keep moving forward. Chin up. 7 years later, I came back to Aotearoa, New Zealand, after traveling for almost 4.5 years of that around the world. And my passion my new passion that I discovered in New Zealand travel burnt into me the joy of being on the road. And my passion for that 7 years while I was abroad was travel, was experiences that travel brought to me. Now, I traveled around Australia and Tasmania for about almost 2 years, lived in Perth for a little over a year, but in that time in Perth, I traveled a lot, extensively, in fact, all around the continent. Australia had so much to offer me in my travel experiences, hitchhiking around Australia and Tasmania, opened up my eyes, but also opened up my heart in ways that I cannot put into words. The experiences that I had there maybe went into forging the person that I am today. So many amazing people, so many amazing places, so many incredible energetic experiences that I had in Australia. Truly, truly a land of wonder and magic, a land of spirits, a land of timelessness, and incredible fauna and flora. Australia calls to me still to this day, and I've been back to it once since I got back to Aotearoa, New Zealand in 2003. Mm-hmm. When I got back there in 2013, I went back to Western Australia to see if I could live there again. I got back there and it was a different place than when I was there in 98, 99. I didn't feel like I belonged there anymore. Everything has shifted and changed for me. But the thrill of being back and traveling again, yeah, it was massive for me, enormous. And it lit a fire in me, a fire that had gone out for almost 10 years. I hadn't traveled really abroad for 10 years. I traveled around New Zealand extensively when I got back to Aotearoa, New Zealand, after being away for 7 years. I traveled around the South Island, the North Island, offshore islands as well, just traveling, constantly leaving the city, going to places, doing things, walking, hikes, tramps, road trips, weekends away. But to leave Aotearoa, New Zealand, and then go abroad, lit a fire into me, and I realized that I needed to go away and keep traveling and follow my purpose and follow my heart. What came next for me was a bunch of trips to the Pacific Islands. Some of them truly incredible and life-changing. I swam with humpback whales in Tonga and Niue, and Niue was by far the most exotic place I'd been to in the Pacific compared to the other islands I've been to, Samoa, Tonga, Rarotonga. Niue was off the chain. Niue was very different, very exotic, and very, it felt like it was the end of the fucking world, but my God, it blew my mind in regards to what I experienced there. I was in the water with dolphins that were swimming next to me, like I could touch them right next to me, hanging off the edge of a boat, powering through the water as they swam up next to me. Hundreds of them. Incredible experience. They're literally right next to my legs and my arms as I was in the water. I dove in the water and swam with humpback whales. They came up to surface right next to me. I could see them below me, hundreds of meters below me, as they move through this deep, deep water and come up to breathe. And they breathed right next to me, within 2 or 3 meters away from me. Much better than the experience I had in Tonga, where we harassed whales and chased after them. This was incredible and an amazing place to go to. Although, having said that, though, Niue is so remote that after seeing everything that was on the island, doing everything there within the first 3 or 4 days, the rest of the 4 days that we were there for, to me, felt like torture. As part of my experience, of my passion of traveling, I've always felt the feeling of getting out and doing things and experiencing and seeing new, having new experiences and getting around and seeing new vistas has always been important to me. Even though I went away on a holiday to an extent, my idea of a holiday is a balance between traveling and settling and chilling out, reading, just chilling out in general, eating, sleeping. So for the last 4 days in Niue, for me, it was a bit like torture, really. I had done everything we could do on the island in 4 days. But to be that far away from everything, on a gigantic coral atoll in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, truly an amazing experience. I was ready to go away again and follow my passion in a way that was going to lead me to a place where I would have probably the most difficult goodbye of my life with my ex-partner, Inga, in 2020. We were destined to travel together through South America, fly into Buenos Aires, travel up to Salta, and then go into Bolivia and Peru, and then I would say goodbye to Inga in Peru, and she would go back to the Netherlands, and I would continue to travel around South America for a time. That was our intention, and I was looking forward to the experience of having that time with her, even if it was just for a couple of months, to go to places I've wanted to go to for many, 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 many years, and to truly get back into the spirit of travel again, because I knew if I got to that particular part of the world, that being South America, my heart would blossom in a way that I had not blossomed, I felt, in regards to travel for many years, since I was traveling through Southeast Asia by myself for almost 2 months. When I was there in Southeast Asia, traveling alone by myself, I felt the freest I'd ever felt in my life. I felt so free and so full of passion, so full of purpose. My purpose was to simply see and experience and say yes to life. That's how I felt. My heart was full of this deep, reverent joy for simply being there. The people that I came into my experience and came into my life changed my life in so many ways, even though they were in my life for short times and short moments. But the feeling that I had being away in those places, those remote places in Laos, remote places in Cambodia and Vietnam, crossing borders that hadn't been crossed by Westerners for almost 25 years, from Vin into Laos. Just mind-blowing. And it just set me on fire. My passion was burning to keep traveling. You know, I made a decision to go to Canada rather than go to India. I chose to go to Canada, and my life changed forever by doing that. I had the option to go to India and go west. I did. I had the option to go west. I chose to go east. So I did. Travel was a big part of my life. And thanks to this health crisis last year, I haven't had a chance to travel abroad. 2020 for me ended up being a year of enormous introspection, turning inward and dealing with my personal shadow, finding the space within my body to be at peace with who I was, and discovering who I was. My passion became my self-discovery once again. My passion became the time I had alone with nature. My passion became the experience of being at peace with who I was and where I was in my life. During that year last year, 2020, I got to a point where I also realized that my passion that I had in regards to my own personal creative experience, that being, of course, Oho Ake books, which had consumed me since 2008, was a very strange, heartfelt passion because I didn't really give it my everything. I indulged my passion in a way that was like a seesaw. I moved into that passion, fully immersed in it to the point where I was existing, living, breathing. Everything that I wrote about in those books, everything that I researched in those books, I was so involved with the process so deeply and so enthralled by it. It burned at me when I was in that process of creation, and I felt like I'd never felt before in my life when I was in that process of creating those books. But I dabbled. I was afraid to go fully into that experience. I've been passionate about so much more in my life. I've been passionate about the things that were temporary in my life. I've been passionate about experiences that came and went in my life. And I was enacting that process through my writing process, through my creative process. I was dabbling. I was coming and going. I wasn't giving it 110% because I was afraid. I was afraid to show myself to the world and say, this is who I am and this is what I do. That's who I was. And in 2020, I realized I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't do it anymore. My passion was to be myself. 100%. And that meant coming out from behind the computer screen, coming out from behind the curtain and saying, I am passionate about what I do. This is what I do. This is who I am. And my passion is this. My passion has been this for 13 years. But I've been too afraid to tell the world that I've been passionate about this. And even though I might not write another book for the rest of my life, I feel passionate about the content that I've created. I feel passionate about doing podcasts, writing blogs, and doing vlogs about my life and my anecdotal stories, about my own spiritual awakening, my own conscious awakening. And I'm looking to bring value into people's lives by explaining about my own conscious awareness, my own conscious awakening, my own spiritual awakening, but also understanding my own understanding personally about my experience of knowing that my books and the whole creation of that series of the Shadow and Soul series is a correlation between my own personal development, which is bananas now looking at it for me, to be honest. I'm completely whacked out by this, bugged out by it. My entire creation of these of this content is a reflection of my own personal development. Far out. To come to that place now and see that for what it is fucking wild to me, man. That's crazy. I didn't see it that way. Now I'm doing what I'm passionate about more than anything else. I'm doing what I'm truly passionate about. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping forward. I'm no longer hiding behind the mask. I'm no longer hiding behind the fear. I'm moving into my heart in a way like I never have before. I'm saying this is where my power lies. This is where I lie. I can no longer sit back and say, well, you know what? I can always put that to the side and let it be there. I can be passionate about this for a little bit and walk away from it like I've done my entire life. I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about that. Yep, it's changed. Changing passions, changing purposes is natural, I think, to a large extent. We want to keep evolving and shifting and changing. But if we let the mechanism of fear, and that came, for me it was trauma of being seen, the trauma of being seen by people and the judgments that would come with that, because I didn't feel like I was strong enough in my own frame. I didn't feel like I was happy with who I was. I felt that I was fragile and to be exposed would simply destroy me. Now I don't give a fuck. I am who I am. If you don't like it, you can piss off. I don't care. I don't care. This is who I am. I'm passionate about the fact that I'm completely and 100% content and feel free to be who I am. I'll let my fucking freak flag fly. My hair's already cut, by the way. That's a great song. If you get a chance to listen to that album, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Deja Vu. Great album. Great album. That's called Deja Vu. Anyway. It's a great album. But Almost Cut My Hair. Yeah, great song. Yeah, let your freak flag fly, baby. I am passionate about what I do now. This is my passion. This is what I do now. I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm living from my heart. Living from my heart is also translated into my life experience. I'm living from my heart in every possible way I can. And then whenever I'm missing, if I'm not acting from my heart, if I'm feeling a bit rudderless, then I'll bring my energy and my attention back to my heart space and go like, right, am I moving from here? Or am I moving from my head? And I come back to that point. I'm back to that point at the very beginning of this podcast, moving from your head or from your heart or from your gut. Now, there's nothing wrong with moving from your head or from your gut. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just that you give that meaning if you choose to give it meaning. But living from your heart means that you are connected to a greater and more powerful energy than you can ever imagine. You're allowing your true self to move through you and to manifest in this reality, in this existence, in this matrix, in this simulation. You are letting your true self manifest through you, through your bodily experience, through your 3D experience, allowing it to manifest in your life experience. You're sharing your true self with the world. There is nothing as precious as that, the time that you have here, nothing comes close. It's a simple choice for us. Those of us who are spiritually awakened or spiritually aware or awakening, it's a choice for us to move into that space from our hearts and live from there and follow our passion, because our passion becomes our purpose. Our purpose becomes our passion. And that can change. It can always change. And you often evolve and shift through your personal conscious awakening. And when you have that personal conscious awakening, you become more self, you have your self-discovery, and you understand your place in the universe, your passion and your purpose are interchangeable, and then you will evolve and you will become, do something else. And that's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to follow the same path all the way through your entire life. I'm discovering that and feeling good about that process and about letting shit go that no longer serves me. I may have been passionate about this and this and this and this and this and this, but I'm not passionate about that anymore. And it's interesting to me to go through this personal experience and to relate this to you now, because, you know, I am, you know, what I've been passionate about in the past, I'm no longer that passionate about at all. And that includes some things that I can relate to now that I can tell you intimately. They no longer push my buttons anymore. And that's amazing to get to that place. Like, I would never consider myself, I mean this sincerely, I'm not sure if I'm going to write a book again. I've written 13. I've written 12, actually, on my 13th book. But I'm not sure if I'm going to write another book after I finish Rigmarole. I don't know. I'm not that passionate about writing books anymore. I'm more passionate, I think, and I feel more passionate about translating those books into something different, into a different medium, whether that be graphic novels or movies. I do feel passionate about that, about TV shows. I feel passionate about making podcasts, doing videos when I do make them, but I also feel like I'm in a state now of being in a void of infinite possibilities in regards to my passions, my purpose. And right now, my purpose is to live from my heart and where that might take me to. And that is shifting and changing. The more my heart opens, the more I connect to the multiverse, the more levels of awareness that I encompass, my vista grows wider and wider and bigger and bigger. The delta of this river begins to get more expansive. I'm drawn to different and very interesting new passions. What will become my purpose? I'm open to this. I feel the shift and the change energetically within my body. I feel this ability to open up in a way that I haven't had before and be completely fearless due to the nature of my awakening, the nature of my heart opening, and saying I am completely content with who I am. My cup is full. I don't need anything from anybody. No validation, nothing. And that is a big, big moment for me to feel this way. I mean, after so many years of feeling the opposite, to feel this way, to feel like I've get into a place where my healing process has taken me to a place where I feel completely whole and complete. And also at the same time, able to share in regards to my choices that I make with people. To look at someone who I adore and love and say, this is enough. I don't need anything more from you. If you choose to give me more, that's great. Awesome. I appreciate that. But also understanding in this same moment, understanding that it doesn't have to go to a place where it becomes intimate in a sexual way. It doesn't have to. And often that can spoil something that in the past I would have raced into because it would have made me feel I was fulfilling a passion in my life. Well, my passion towards sexuality has definitely shifted and changed. I'm no longer that person anymore. I'm not sure about my sexuality at all. I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't been sexually active with somebody in a fully sexual active with somebody since December 2019. I've had moments where I've shared sexual experiences, intimate experiences with three women in the last 8 months. But I find the degree of intimacy that I share with the woman that I'm currently spending time with, the moments I spend time with her, the energy I spend with her, and the levels of awareness that we share with each other, the sense of discovery we have with each other, the greater understanding of each other, the time and the ease that we have with each other, is far more intensely powerful. And I feel as though, for me anyway, it's so much more rewarding to get to know this human being and this human and see her own personal evolution and her own development and be a part of that as she shares with me what she's going through and I share what I'm going through with her. that's something fucking beyond my wildest imagination. Years and years ago, I would never have conceived of that as being important to me. But I'm passionate about seeing my friend evolve and shift and change and become the person that she wants to become. There's a great power in that. It's a beautiful experience to be able to share with somebody and to share my own personal conscious awakening with her. The levels of my depth of my awakening with her. My honesty, my authenticity, my vulnerability. I'm blessed in that sense to have this in my life right now. I feel that completely and wholly. And this comes with the nature of, once again, back to the heart. It comes back to the heart. Always back to the heart as a means to experience reality. And often, and this is the thing I think that most humans don't understand, is they perceive it, this, they give it meaning. It's a neutral experience, but we give it meaning. It's great, it's terrible. It's great, it's bad, it's wonderful. Those are all just labels for an experience. It is what it is. It is what it is, and we choose to give it whatever energy we choose to give it. For me, the experience of having my heart open to guide me into what it becomes, and that in the moment I am experiencing it, I'm passionate about what fulfills me, what draws me, what magnetizes me, gives me the greatest joy. Moment to moment presence and presence in my life. And that presence for me is truly understanding that my heart, if I follow it, rather than my head or my gut, I can tap into those two brains as well. The human body's got three brains, one in the head, one in the chest, your heart, and one in your gut. I remember a story someone told me about a person who went to Australia and hung out with some Indigenous people, some First Nations people in Australia, who said to this guy, "You're spending too much time on your top brain." And he looked at them and said, "What are you talking about?" He said, and then they said to him, "Your body's got three brains. You've got a top brain, a brain in your heart, a brain in your chest, which is your heart, and a brain in your gut. You've got three brains." This traditional culture knew that, and science has proved that now. Mainstream science, mainstream medicine, mainstream physiology, biology has proven that to be true. You've got a brain in your gut. You've got a all the nerve endings in your stomach and in your gut. You've got a brain in your heart. The nerve endings are in your heart. And you've got a brain in your head where your nerve endings are too, of course, naturally. Incredible. And we have to listen to all three of those brains at some point. But the one in the middle, in my experience, is the most important one to listen to. And therefore, when we do listen to that one, our passion becomes our purpose, and our purpose becomes our passion. And that can change in flux. That can move at any point in our lives. And that's okay. We can't get hung up on the fact that it's going to change. It's going to shift when our personal awareness shifts as well. When our point of attention shifts, our purpose is going to shift too. And the most important thing we can do, I feel, in this situation is to let go and to move into the new field of awareness, the new field of energy. Following your heart is a simple process. It's quite simple. You just bring your awareness to where your heart is, and you move from there. You move from there. It's that simple. It's just a choice. It's not a physiological choice. It's just a choice in regards to awareness. Once you tap into that field from your heart, then once again, like I said before, your purpose becomes your passion. Your passion becomes your purpose. And therefore, in that space, you're bringing into this reality the greatest gifts you could ever bring into this reality. You're living from your heart, living from source energy, you're living from your true self. Nothing could be more valuable at this time than that. And to do it fearlessly, is probably the most important aspect of this. Because there is no fear in the heart. The heart understands that you are an eternal being having a human experience. And your human experience is only a short blink of an eye in regards to the nature of the length of the existence of the universe, the multiverse, and creation itself. Human lifetime is nothing. So you might as well get busy living from your heart. And don't fear, don't ever be afraid, because you're an eternal being having a human experience. And you can live a whole kaleidoscope of passions throughout your entire human existence. And it's one of the greatest joys, I think, about the experience of evolving, shifting, and changing your personal awareness and your point of attention is that many passions can move through your life. And if you move from your heart in those passions, you're giving reality the greatest gift of them all, the gift of yourself. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Ma te wa. We'll talk again soon. Dide, dide, ho. Dide, dide, ho.